Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. Your sports bro's here with you. My name is Isaac. There's Jason.
Right here.
They call him Big Sook.
Turning off Monday Night Football because I don't need to see Marcus play the Chiefs.
You're going baseball?
Yeah, no offense to the Commanders and Chefs. If this ends up being close, maybe I'll flip it over. But Washington's a mash unit. And look, I like Marcus, but Marcus right now is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. And the Chiefs got this thing rolling a little bit. So I will be taking the Dodgers and Blue Jays.
I feel you. I just had a very, very difficult sports debate in my head over that very question.
Sure.
Of what am I going to start with here at 5:06?
Yeah.
And I have chosen football.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then see if the baseball game gets interesting?
Yeah. I mean, you know, those baseball games are long.
Sure.
And so I just want to see how this football game shapes up, and then we'll maybe get on over there.
I did find it interesting, though, that the Chefs ran out of a giant 3D arrowhead while everyone was going, meanwhile, they're playing the Commanders, which, I saw that.
Formerly Redskins.
I thought that was a little, you know,
yeah.
There's some irony in that whole thing.
Are there groups that want the Chiefs and the Braves to stop with that chop?
Yeah, I think the chop is somewhat problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
by the way, Schultze is here and he says that him being German and Native American, he needs a name like Black Tina.
Yeah.
And we've workshopped that through the break. Now somebody said germ native.
Kind of like that one.
Or native germ.
Not as cool.
Tough connotation there, but you know, there's that. Yeah. I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, like the traditional Native American names.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
you know, like I have,
which I have one.
Kraut Feather.
Ooh, Kraut Feather.
Kraut Feather's pretty good.
My dad would love that one.
And we have Schnitzel Wolf.
Schnitzel Wolf.
Oh, dude.
What do you think?
I'm so, no offense, but I'm calling you Schnitzel Wolf from now on.
I mean, I like Kraut Feather better, but.
Our little Schnitzel Wolf.
No. Schnitzel Wolf works.
You're a Schnitzel.
I don't know. I have an Indian name. Would you like to know it?
I think you've told me before.
Yeah, I thought that I
he
told
who
you.
He eats
that.
Kraut?
No, it is. That would be my father. No, he loves sauerkraut. No, my Indian name is Washi. It's basic, it's the flavor of life.
What is it again? I'm sorry?
Washi.
Washi.
Given to me by my grandmother. Rest in peace. So yeah.
Now you're Schnitzel Wolf.
All right. I am Schnitzel Wolf now.
Boy, I can't.
That's great.
This only may apply to me, but the best thing I've heard today is Schnitzel Wolf. That warms my little heart.
All right. Do we have to get down to sports talk?
Probably.
Here?
Sports.
Well, we've got Scherzer going tonight.
Yeah, you know, this is a possibility. I wouldn't ask him or he'll stab you in the eye, but this may be his last start ever.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, it is worth noting that he is pitching for his fourth time, for the fourth time in the World Series, with a fourth different team. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. So
he was with the Tigers.
Yeah, Tigers and then the Nationals.
In the World Series. And they don't make it to the World Series very often.
No, they do not.
He was there with the Nationals.
Yeah.
He was there with the Rangers.
Oh.
And now he's there with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about the Rangers.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And look, he shoved the old sun up into this guy the last time he pitched. He was great.
Well, he's a guy that I mean, I don't know how he fares against the Dodgers lineup. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that I don't feel bad handing the ball to.
Yeah.
Just because he is uber competitive. He knows how to pitch. He doesn't have what he used to have. And he's been lit up a little bit here in the postseason. But he can keep this. He's a gamer.
Yeah.
He's a gamer.
If you are going to hand it to a dinosaur, there's a lot worse dinosaurs than you can hand it to than Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you catch the Colonel Sanders guy in Toronto?
No. What was Colonel Sanders guy? Like,
behind
was,
home plate.
Was KFC doing ads or was he just dressed up as...
Well, I don't know. I didn't see the story behind him, but it was just some guy dressed up as Colonel Sanders sitting there behind home plate.
Well, I guess if you're going to be behind plate, right, you're doing bits. Now, I did see the two bodybuilders in Toronto. Did you see that?
No.
Just the two massive, and I mean massive, human beings back there. Clearly bodybuilder types. They were back there.
In Toronto?
Yeah, in Toronto.
Well, tonight we get Mary Hart.
Yeah.
And I think, who's the doctor from Hangover? Who's that guy?
Hangover.
Ken Jeong.
Yeah, Ken Jeong. Oh. He has seats. Yeah. He's usually down. He was there last year. Yeah.
Is Rob Lowe going to be there? He's usually
Rob Lowe's
the
there.
Wearing his NFL hat, I hope. Look, there's one thing you can say, like you can crap all over LA, but
And then Jason Bateman has somehow inserted himself into this. He's down there.
It's just when you LA right now, it's like 75 and sunny. There's something to be said for the end of October being in Los Angeles.
That's right.
I love Chavez Ravine. That's just it's a wonderful stadium.
Sucks getting to it, but yeah. It's
yeah,
nice.
I'm a big Dodger Stadium guy, and I just the aesthetics of the World Series with the sunshine and the palm trees, still sunny outside. It's freaking great.
Well, yeah, we had an atmospheric river.
Yes.
You don't think we were talking like, be nice to be down in.
Look down in LA right now, and you're like, yeah, it's nice.
Or Toronto.
Well, in Toronto, yeah, you get to be indoors.
Yeah, Mariota's getting gray.
Yeah, he is.
You know, look at that.
Kind of looks like Dusty. Him and Brandman have the same little gray going on there.
He looks like old Mariota.
Well,
he's like 36.
I know.
Isn't
well,
he?
That makes me feel old. Is he 36? No way.
No,
no way. No way.
31.
30. Yeah. Thank
wow.
You.
Yeah. He's graying very young then.
Yeah.
His time in Tennessee added those grays, right?
Happens to the best of us. I do appreciate that more and more men are just letting it happen, though.
Women, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a thing.
It's becoming a thing.
It's a movement.
Yeah. Stop trying to hide it. That's embrace
right.
it.
That's
you right. know, we're all going to get there.
I hope not, but yeah.
I don't mind it.
Well, you can hope all you want, Schulte.
Yeah, every day I wake up in the mirror and I get a little... Mine's not gray. Mine just turns white. I'm like, yeah, it happens.
I mean, I'm doing pretty good. I'm 36. There's maybe a couple of silvers on the sides that I just think
well, they come
blonde.
Fast.
Yeah, they do.
They I didn't take it from me.
I didn't
it
get
won't
mine.
Happen.
I didn't get mine well into my 40s, and now just every day I wake up a little bit more.
Brian Kelly has been fired. Let's talk about that coming up next. Also, we have another ex-athlete face card. That has been named.
Mm-hmm. In the Chauncey Billups world.
In addition to Chaunce.
Yeah.
Big name. Hall of Famer. Different sport.
Yeah.
We'll get to that coming up. But a fade.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so LSU fired Brian Kelly. Didn't take long after they lost to Texas A&M.
No.
It's like Sunday morning.
Isn't it crazy how quickly this stuff happens?
It is quicker than ever.
Yeah. And it's because we're all under the impression now with these massive buyouts I mean, he's a $54 million, you know, buyout, and then you have to get his staff together. And, you know, these are basically, you know, $100 million swings. And so for these universities to cry poor and they can't afford, you know, this and that, just don't listen to them. Because there's just too many. There's no buyout anymore that's problematic for schools if they really are motivated. And boy, they've got a short trigger here. And some of this is they just don't like Brian Kelly, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think what the era that we've entered into, I mean, LSU is a great example. I mean, that's a school that had been struggling a little bit, mm-hmm. or at least not living up to their own expectations. They pay $13 million to front load a roster, yep. completely revamp it. You have the Heisman Trophy front runner, mm-hmm. Quarterback coming back. And if you don't live up to that, yeah, I mean, that's what equals a lack of patience. I mean, that and I just feel like ADs and decision makers, it's easier to chase lightning in a bottle than it is to have patience.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows that they're going to be fired if they don't get it right stat.
Yeah.
So there's really no, that money is not the issue.
No.
Clearly. It's more people trying to save their own ass and trying to, they have a little bit of Indiana and Vanderbilt derangement syndrome. Like college football powers that be look around and go, well, if they can do it, how is it that it's so hard for us to do it? So we'll just find the next. We're LSU. We can certainly find the next Kurt Cignetti. We have more to offer than Indiana. Yeah. You know, so that's what they. And then they say, well, if we don't get this right, we're going to be fired in 2 years. So I'm not going to have the patience for it. So all of this combined makes for there's just no patience anymore. Like it's becoming. It's yet another way that college football is becoming like the NFL.
Yeah,
it's just. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, because, look, I don't like Brian Kelly, and I think this ultimately is the right move. It sounds like Brian Kelly was checked out. Sounds like Brian Kelly was doing really nothing to try to save his job. So I'm not being critical of LSU here. I'll be critical of Penn State. I think Penn State has their head up their ass. That's a ridiculous firing of James Franklin. Brian Kelly, that's different. But it is weird that 10-3, 10-3, 9-4, and a Heisman Trophy mixed in there, and now 5-3 probably ends up being another 9-3 season.
Well, I mean, look at Franklin's record.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are doing good jobs.
Yes.
They're not doing good enough based on the expectations.
Sure.
And it's tough. It's a tough world, man. Like that. So but as Lanning said, we've talked to Dan Lanning about this. Like, this is the world they sign up for. They know it.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
And it's also, I wonder if as these jobs open up, like, I don't know if being in the SEC right now is where I want to live. Given my choice. Like, the LSU job is infinitely better than the Penn State job. It just is. If I was, I don't know. Like I'm trying to think of someone outside of the SEC that's, the coach at Tulane.
Sumrall.
Who, if it's not Lane Kiffin, it sounds like that is the target for LSU. If it's not Kelly.
I heard Dan Lanning.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That's what I heard.
So if I'm Sumrall, right, and I was given my choice, money's the same, both can pay, I would take the Penn State job. You may not have as many resources. You may not have the recruiting grounds that LSU does. But life is a hell of a lot easier in the Big Ten than it is in the SEC. Like, you can be a top, I think Auburn is a top 25 to 28 recruiter on any given year. Sometimes they're in the teens. Do you realize that from a talent perspective, that's 11th or 12th in the SEC? That's just the world that you live in. If you took Auburn's roster and you put it in the Big Ten, it's like the fourth best roster. In the SEC, it's the 12th best roster. And the expectations at LSU, 10 wins is not going to get it done. It's just not. And so I'd rather live in a world where I'm at Penn State and their unreasonable expectations, but at least it's more of an achievable world than being down in that, because now in the SEC, I can't hoard players like I used to. The talent's more spread out. The league is bigger and broader than it's ever been, and it's just a nasty schedule you have to go through.
Maybe this is why Kurt Cignetti's got it right.
Yes.
Because he knows that he's not under the gun like that.
No.
Dan Lanning knows he's not under the gun like that, even at Oregon.
Yes. Well, and let's take Oregon, for example. And I think Oregon is one of the better teams in the country. But if we took a look at Oregon's schedule and we looked at the SEC schedules and we take what we know of Oregon, they've played two teams that from a talent standpoint are somewhat comparative to Oregon, right? They've played Indiana, they've played Penn State. Got handled by Indiana in a close game, but Indiana was just better, and you pulled one out, right? Last kind of second double overtime against Penn State. If we took Oregon's schedule and we had them go through LSU's schedule, do you think maybe that's a little bit of a tougher road when you look at what that has? And so, like, if I'm Dan Lanning and I'm sitting there, or any school like that, and I'm looking at my resources, and I said, my resources are just as good as LSU's. In fact, they might be better in this world of NIL. And my big gauntlet is Penn State and Indiana. And then at the end of the year, I got to go to like USC and Washington, as opposed to where I need to see Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, maybe Vanderbilt on any given year that now they're good, or a Missouri team that's jumped up. That's where I got to go. Nah, man, I'm good. I'll stick in the Big Ten.
Well, yeah. And I think that's another part of the conversation that adds to the LSUs and Floridas and these teams. Why, like, you're not getting Lanning out of Oregon. You're not getting Freeman out of Notre Dame. And you're not getting Cignetti out of Indiana.
No.
So who are you going to go get? Like, the pool is thinning.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said. So it's not like it used to be. I think ADs are still in the mode of, oh, well, I'm at Florida, I'm at LSU, we mm-hmm. can get whoever you want.
No.
Dude, you can't do that anymore. It used to be you probably could.
Yeah.
Like, you could go get the hottest coach out there and steal him, and it would suck for that old... The coaches were ladder climbers.
Yeah.
But now that more schools are competing and keeping up with the LSUs of the world, like Oregon and even freaking Indiana, for heaven's sake, they're just not... Like, you have to either... You just have to go find the young guy.
Yeah.
And again, that's just chasing lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
It's a really weird time in college football for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I would... I don't know. Would I have stuck with Brian Kelly if I'm at LSU? I don't know that you can, because it sounds like in the... Did you read Ross Dellinger's article about LSU?
Yeah.
He said that political figures and executives were committing to buyout dollars in the suites during the game.
Yes.
As they were losing to Texas A&M.
They had lost. There's no way that Brian Kelly could get brought back. So... You know, whether I would have committed to him or not, it's a moot point. He was a dead man walking. Regardless of what had happened, they were just waiting for an excuse to fire Brian Kelly. And it sounds like Brian Kelly knew that, and Brian Kelly was just kind of leaning into it and was like, well, no one likes it. It was a bad fit from the get-go, especially with the way he left Notre Dame, and he was all cocky about how he couldn't win a national title at Notre Dame and LSU. And he just rubs everyone the wrong way. And this is what I said. When you're going to be an old school horse's ass, you better win, and you better win immediately. Otherwise, people turn their back on you.
Yeah, I don't know what LSU's going to do now, though. I mean...
Well, it sounds like they're going to put their eggs in the Lane Kiffin basket. And if it's not Lane, then I think you go down... I think Summerall is the other guy at Tulane. Joe Brady is a name with LSU ties. He was the reason why they won that national title. From an offensive standpoint, he was the passing game coordinator. He's the Bills OC. That's a name. Drinkwitz at Missouri is someone. Brent Key at Georgia Tech, if you want to go with a head coaching experience. Other than that, maybe it's a possibility that you just go down the coordinator road. Like, we're always looking for the name, right? We're looking for the next, like, kind of group of five coach, or we're looking for the head coach to get siphoned off of a lesser team. And I'm not saying he's the end all to be all, but is there something to the fact that Oregon took a look at that and was like, nah, we're going to go get Dan Lanning, young, energetic defensive coordinator that not a lot of people were talking about. And they said, I don't care. This is our guy. He's the modern day coach that we need to go get. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah, they certainly, again, Oregon got it right. And that's what you always go back to. It's like, and you can see why these ADs keep chasing this, because if you do get, you just get it right one time.
Changes everything.
Look at Vanderbilt.
Yep.
They hired I don't know where Clark Lee came from, but what a great hire.
Yeah. Well, that and the school had the school decided that in this world they can compete. And that's the main thing. If the school decides that they're going to dump resources into it, then you may convince someone to stick around.
Well, yeah, sticking around is different.
He was a Notre Dame assistant, by the way.
Right. So sticking around is different than getting them in the first place.
Sure.
Like, you can get John Summerall.
Yeah. Yes. He won't stay.
You can get him.
Yeah.
The question is if he kicks ass like Clark Lee's doing at Vancouver or Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. and Cignetti did at Indiana, can you keep him?
Yeah.
And that's a different conversation. I'm just saying, like, all those names that you mentioned for LSU sound great.
Yeah.
But how many times do we have to watch these great naming, these great sounding names?
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
Go to the next place, yeah. and it fizzles and it fails.
All the time.
Like, how many? It's just constantly not working out.
Nope.
So what? I don't know what you do if you're an. It's just really hard, man. I guess you go young. Mm-hmm. Like you say, a coordinator you believe in, and you just put them on a prove-it deal, and if that's good enough or that works out, then you raise a bunch of money to be able to keep them there like the Oregon has with Lanning. Other than that, you're not going to go and steal somebody else's proven winning coach. You're just not going to – it's not going to happen.
I think it's going to be tough.
So I don't know. So then do you – that circles back to, did you just – and. No, you couldn't really stick with Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
But it circles back to, should Penn State have just stuck with James Franklin?
Yes.
I mean, yes. Kelly was a little bit different.
Kelly was different. Penn State had no, Penn State, that was a really, really dumb decision. And if I was Wisconsin, I would fire Luke Fickell tomorrow and I would go get James Franklin. James Franklin could be the sort of guy that I could be at Wisconsin for 20 years. And what James Franklin did at Penn State, he would be lauded at Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is a sweet spot of a job. If you're looking for a place with good resources, realistic expectations, a place like Wisconsin, I think is someplace that he could flourish. I thought Penn State was that way, but ultimately they couldn't handle three losses from James Franklin in a lost season. I just think that schools need to reevaluate the way they run their programs, the way they run their coaching searches in this world. And I think fan bases and schools and rich boosters are having a hard time with that right now.
You can, yes.
But
you can tell.
But you're right, right? Jimbo Fisher signs an unprecedented contract at Texas A&M, flails. Brian Kelly comes down from Notre Dame, flails. Brian Kelly was a really good coach, doorstep of a national title at Notre Dame. Lincoln Riley so far has flamed out at USC. We thought that was going to be a slam dunk. Billy Napier was the kind of the next thing at one of the small schools. Didn't work out. Dan Mullen came from Mississippi State to Florida. Didn't work out. Like, you're right. And that these schools now are littered with $50 million buyouts from these guys, whether you're going with the retread, you know, or you're going with the lower school, you know, jumping up and getting that guy, the Summerall one, he would be in that mold, like with Billy Napier.
There's too many institutionalized dudes.
Yes.
Scott Barnes at Oregon State is one of them. Scott Woodward is the guy at LSU, institutionalized. In other words, it's a whole new landscape of college football, and yet they're thinking the old way.
Yeah.
Woodward, by the way, and he used to be at UW, mm-hmm. he's at LSU. His last two coaches that he hired made a combined $170 million. Neither of them made the college football playoff, and both were fired with total buyouts of $129 million.
God bless America, man.
And so that those both weren't at LSU.
Yeah.
That's Jimbo Fisher.
And
Brian Kelly at LSU, because he was at Texas A&M, and then Brian Kelly at LSU.
And those were both proven guys, one with a national title and one that was considered one of the better coaches that were no-brainer hires, and they both absolutely flamed out.
But this guy also hired a baseball coach that won a national championship.
Yeah.
He hired a women's basketball coach that has won him a national championship. So why wouldn't he think he could hire the football coach to win them a national championship? Okay. It is such a weird time.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, if I'm a university president or board, I am thinking completely differently about my AD and who runs my, well, maybe not my AD, but who runs my entire
operation,
just football side. I don't know. Is that a separate? Should that be a separate position than the athletic director? The traditional athletic director maybe can still oversee all the other sports.
Yeah.
But football, this is a completely different animal.
Yeah.
I'm thinking younger. I'm thinking more businesslike. I just not academic. I don't know.
So it is a shifting landscape, and some places are struggling to adjust to it.
They also said that
LSU is one of those places.
That Dellinger article said that the Louisiana governor got involved.
Yeah.
And had all the, this is a very Louisiana thing, but Apparently, he had them all out to his governor mansion. Yep. Said, "All right, sit down, boys." And there's no president at LSU right now.
No, so it's a weird kind of rudderless ship right now.
Yeah, so Dellinger was insinuating that the governor sees that and is a big. He's one of the guys that put. I think there's four board members at LSU that he put there, mm-hmm. and so he's starting to kind of swing his you know what around and yeah. say, "Hey, there's no president. I'm jumping in here." Yeah. And apparently, he had them all over. Sunday to talk about firing Brian Kelly because he wanted it.
Yeah.
Well, he got what he wanted.
Yeah. Someone said Dan Mullen had three straight New Year's Six appearances along with an SEC East title. Florida should have never let him go. There's another one.
I think Mullen, well, you mentioned him, but yeah. I think Mullen, I think that's very similar to Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
In that I could easily see a scenario where Lincoln Riley gets let go at USC if he does not finish this off this year. They're pretty good right now.
Yeah.
They got a couple big games coming up. If they can keep moving forward, he's probably fine. But if he steps back in any way, they might fire him. I think that's very similar to Dan Mullen. In other words, I would stick with Lincoln Riley if I'm USC.
Yeah.
And Florida should have stuck with Dan Mullen.
He went 10-3, 11-2, 8-4, and then they fired him the next year.
8-4.
So it's like, it's funny that we're at these programs now, and one bad year, and it's like the next year you're coaching for your job. And this is why I go back to Penn State, where their head is so far up their ass. They went into that, they were a play away from playing for the national championship game. They were a play away from beating Oregon and everything being hunky-dory. And 2 weeks later, they fired their guy because it was... You had a bad year.
Well, those two losses after Oregon were bad.
Yeah, I understand, but that's where...
No, I'm not saying that's fireable.
It's amazing that this is where we're at. That a bad stretch that happens at every level. There's losing streaks in the NFL. There's losing streaks in every sport. And we're now at the point in college football where a losing streak is unaccepted.
Well, they all think alike. It's like... They get SEC-itis where how many times have we seen the traditional Alabamas or Georgias get upset and then run the table?
Yeah.
Florida did it with Tebow, right?
Yes.
And so when Penn State, when the authorities that be at Penn State see them lose a really tough game and they're just not getting over them, they expect Penn State to now pick up and win the rest of their games or maybe lose to Ohio, but just get to the playoff and continue an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
Well, you got to admit, and I'm not saying it's a fireable offense, but you got to admit, what happened to Penn State after the Oregon game, nobody saw that coming. No. They lost to UCLA and Northwestern. Yes, you have to have the foresight to just calm down.
Yeah. It was a lost year. This sucks. Yeah. Let's circle the wagons.
What do we need to do to fix it? But you're right. The knee-jerk reaction is always, well, let's just get a new coach.
Yeah.
And you're spinning your wheels, man.
Yeah.
It's just, it is wild.
And now you're stabbing at air right now. You're probably the third best job out there, and you're hoping that the next guy can come in, and you're going to lose a bunch of recruits based on this, and you're kind of starting from the ground up, and there's just no guarantee that the grass is greener on the other side, and yet we still get to cry poor.
Nah. That was wild. By the way, what was that? What just happened there?
There was some sort of kerfuffle there where, like, did he not touch the base?
No. I think.
Are you watching?
Yeah. I think that the guy on first base thought it was a walk, and it wasn't. It was called a strike. So he was walking down to second base.
And they threw over to first?
Yeah, and they got him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just kind of standing in no man's land.
He thought it was a walk, and it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So. Well, the Jays got runners on the corners.
It could have been bases loaded there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked up.
By the way, I already flipped it over to the baseball game.
Yeah, I looked up, and he was just kind of standing in no man's land. And the same thing. I was like, what just happened?
All right. Well, rest in peace, Brian Kelly. I don't know where LSU fits among the best jobs, but it seems like
in theory,
Florida
that's,
and that one.
In theory, LSU and Florida are top 7 or 8 jobs in America, and I think LSU is a better job than that. LSU is a really, really... In a world where all you can ask for is everything you need to win a national championship is at LSU. And they've proven that even with the wrong guy, Ed Orgeron, you can win. In the last 20 years, Nick Saban has won a national championship, Les Miles has won a national championship, and Ed Orgeron has run a national championship. That is one of, if not a top 3 premier job. And let's be honest, Les Miles and Ed Orgeron weren't necessarily great coaches, and they still won national championships there.
All right. We have another ex-athlete face card.
Uh-oh.
Hall of Famer. We'll get to that next. Here's Schultzy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, well, we don't have any new news on Chance, but Pablo Torre, I told you, Pablo's
You don't want
sniffing
Pablo
up skirts.
You don't want him doing that.
Well, he's come up, what?
Do you want anyone sniffing up skirts?
Sorry. Yeah, I know. I was.
I love it. I say ruffle my skirt all the time. It was just funny. It hit
looking
my
up,
ear.
Yeah.
It hit my ear.
Bad choice of words.
Yeah.
Schnitzel Wolf.
I am the Schnitzel Wolf of the show. I own that title.
Pablo Torre, he was the one that said Kevin Garnett played in some of these rigged poker games, but he didn't specify whether Garnett was a one of the marks. The,
said
like
he left early.
Yeah.
Or somebody who was in on it. We do know now, thanks to Pablo Torre, that Antonio Gates, NFL Hall of Famer, was a face card in on it with Chance and this guy by the name of Curtis Meeks, who was indicted last week.
Well, and that's why you got to wonder when Chance it goes down, and he was the biggest name, no offense to Terry Rozier. And Rozier's got a whole bigger thing, because then you get into, like, you know, you're shaving points. Remember, these are two different scandals, although Chance appears to be involved.
Chance is in both.
In both. Co-conspirator number 8. I don't know why they don't name him in that one. But obviously they name him in the other one. But, you know, these are two separate things. But you can't convince me that Chauncey Billups is the only one. And so now you have a couple of NBA guys. Now you've thrown Kevin Garnett's name is out there in some way. And now Antonio Gates. I mean, you're talking about all-time Hall of Fame players. And where there's one Hall of Famer, one NBA player, one NFL guy, dude, there's others. These guys all run in the same circles. It's in New York. It's in Vegas. Like, they're, if they keep digging on this, and this is why I think the NBA is really scared, and supposedly they're doing an all hands on deck sort of rally the troops here with Adam Silver, I just think they're afraid that as they start pulling on this string, that more and more of these names are going to come out. And I promise you, there's a lot of clutch sports people and everyone else right now that are clutching their pearls, hoping that their guy isn't the next one named.
1-0 Dodgers.
Yeah.
That's a bomb.
The Teoscar?
Teoscar.
Yeah.
So Torre reported on Sunday, Hall of Fame tight end Antonio Gates hosted and participated in an allegedly rigged game that was organized by Curtis Meeks, who was indicted by federal prosecutors as part of the massive gambling scandal that rocked the NBA. Details were limited, but his report follows a report by The Post on Saturday, where one purported victim said that he and his friends had been scammed of nearly $1 million with an ex-NFL player serving as the face card for a game in which Meeks was a main participant.
You also wonder how many people got snookered in these sorts of things that are now going to come forward.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because the idea was listening to some guys that were, you know, kind of existing in this world, and they're, I guess the idea behind this is, who are you going to tell? If you're getting ripped off playing illegal poker, who are you going to tell? Like, this involves the mob, and you just kind of swallow it and you take it. But now that this is becoming public, and the FBI, as you mentioned, is, quote, sniffing up skirts, you wonder if more and more people are going to be willing to raise their hand and be like, hey,
is
man.
Is that really what I said? Sniffing up skirts?
That is what,
that is
what
you said.
That's bad. Yeah. That's bad. It's okay. It gets worse over time.
Yeah, it does. It's not good. Much like Pablo Torre, it just it's gets like, worse.
Yes, you said Pablo Torre was sniffing up skirts. Yeah. He said, don't want that to happen.
You don't want Pablo Torre sniffing bicycle seats. You know, there's just all kinds of weird things. But yeah, you just, you wonder if more and more people are going to come out, because if guys are really in trouble, most of the time they're going to start naming names. You know, sometimes you keep things quiet. Like you have the, what Carmelo Anthony always said, you have to add the fall guy, right? But, you know, when someone's talking to you, like Chauncey Billups, those two charges, no one thinks he's going to jail for like 40 years, but no. Those two charges do carry 20 years a pop. I could see the feds going to him and be like, hey, man, you want to serve 10 or do you want to serve time served or maybe 6 months? Let's talk about some names here. That's, you know, that's how these things work.
But it is interesting they didn't arrest Gates. Obviously, they don't have the evidence on him that they had on Chaunce.
Yeah.
But because he would be a bigger name than Chaunce, wouldn't he?
I would assume, yeah. I mean, although Chaunce isn't a sitting, Antonio Gates isn't a sitting coach.
That's true.
Who knows?
Gates made sure on socials to defend.
He definitely said he was not involved.
Well, I mean, Chaunce is saying that. Chaunce has come out and his statement's like, oh, this is ridiculous. Tyronn Lue gave an interview and he's like, I talked to Chaunce. He's doing great. They're all putting on that.
He's doing great.
He said he's doing great.
What does that mean?
He said he's very confident.
He loves not coaching.
Yeah, he loves it. So, you know. Everyone's putting on the happy face, and anytime your name comes up, whoa. Let's be clear here. I no one's ever been guilty of anything in their entire life.
Well, you swim in the sports world, as do I. What if Pablo Torre walked in here and was like, guys, I need to talk to both of you? How nervous would you be?
I would not like
it. I think I'd walk out of the room at that point.
Yeah. Like, nope. Schnitzel Wolf. You need to talk to my agent, Schnitzel Wolf, over there.
On the plus side,
he handles my affairs.
I'm trying to think of like what's the worst scandal I could get caught up in. I don't do anything. But yeah, man, like if you know that you exist in these worlds, and there's a lot of the athletes. The one thing that has come out of this is how many professional athletes have been like, yeah, this is pretty commonplace. Like everyone gambles, everyone's involved with some shady stuff. And I never saw like this level of stuff, because I had like a brief little glimpse into the world of it. But man, Joey talked about it last week. The amount of money that guys bet in the locker rooms and the amount of money that guys blew on women and strip clubs and just kind of that nightlife and who was around that. None of this should shock anybody.
Well, that doesn't, but the mafia tied rigged shakedown games, I'm sorry, that's a little shocking.
But who else is trying to get players to rig games, right? Who else would it be? Since like the 40s, we've had college basketball shaving. Like, it's always going to be organized crime.
No, I know. I get that athletes gamble. That's not a story.
No, they're easy targets.
The
though,
story
I think, is, what I'm
is that it's the mob in rigged games.
Yeah, the point shavings, or not point shaving, but like the over under stuff. Like Chauncey Billups giving his buddy a tip to make him $100,000. I'll bet you that is so commonplace it is shocking. The you're right. The rigged poker games, and the X-ray glasses. And
like
all that
that's,
stuff.
With
that's,
the mob.
That's a.
And
that's,
they're shaking guys down. They're like, they're not only ripping
hey,
people
Mr.
off.
Mr. Gazzo says I should break your thumbs.
They're ripping people off to the tune of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're breaking knees.
Well, and guys, the big story that came out about this after over the weekend is that the NBA really did know about this.
Did.
Like, going
at least,
forward.
At least the Terrier.
But did they know? Wait a minute. They knew about what?
They didn't know about necessarily the exactly. poker games. They knew about the Terry Rozier.
Yeah, stuff. Exactly.
And then
yeah.
cleared Terry Rozier while he was apparently still.
I think the yeah. like I said, I think the NBA and this is I think they are scared S-less now because they have some answering to do too. How did they clear a player that was still under investigation and then got arrested by the FBI? I think the NBA tried to use the foot wedge to sweep this S under the rug, and it didn't work. It worked for a little bit. Remember when Terry Rozier got cleared, everyone kind of forgot about this, and had the NBA or had the feds not arrested him, this would have quietly gone away, and they probably sat down with Rozier and said, dude, you are so effing lucky. You know, you got sat down, you cost yourself some money. Dude, this is, you know, final opportunity or whatever. And then the feds came in. And now I think the NBA is in full-on what the F mode. And they are in, it's a full-on panic.
All right, we've got QB news to wrap up the hour. We'll get to that next on 105.1 The Fan.
I was watching that play at first, the weird, where the guy thought it was a... was a walk.
Yeah, Bichette just that, walking to second.
That's really on the batter. I think that was Kirk at the plate, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it Varsho?
That's on him. Like the ump clearly signals strike.
Maybe he couldn't see it.
Yeah, he turns to the ump and kind of looks at him and then still starts taking everything off and turning back and he starts walking to first. Like, I understand why the guy on first looked. I mean, I think that's on the batter. I don't necessarily think that's on the guy that got thrown out at first. I think a Bichette.
Well, what should the batter have done?
Well,
what do you mean?
Well, he thinks it's a ball, and he starts walking out. The umpire does strike. Even if you missed, he turns back and looks at the umpire, and there's no confirmation or whatever. And he after turning and looking at him, I don't know what was said. I'm assuming the umpire was like, "Dude, that's that's a strike." And then to turn around and keep taking off your stuff and walking down to first, I put more of the emphasis to know what's going on in the batter than the guy at first. The guy at first, all he saw was the batter continuing to walk down after seemingly having a discussion with the umpire. He starts walking down the line. I can see where he thinks that's ball four.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of looks like maybe Bichette, who was on first, could not see the strike call.
Yeah.
Because the ump clearly signals strike.
Yes.
He does the point.
Yeah, he does the point. Does
but
the pistol.
He was probably blocked by Varsho.
Yeah.
And so he was kind of confused because he couldn't tell what Varsho was doing. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they say after the game. A couple of quarterback notes. Carson Wentz, the era has ended.
Yes.
It's over.
Thank God.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. And of course, he was wincing out there.
And they just threw him to the wolves.
Oh my God! Yeah,
it was rough.
Yeah, his shoulder is so bad he has to have season-ending surgery.
Yeah.
So.
And that tells you something. Like, I still am not certain what's going on with JJ McCarthy because he certainly looked healthy enough to play, and Carson Wentz was on the verge of death out there, and they just kept rolling his old bones out there.
I thought O'Connell said McCarthy could play.
Yeah.
And yet they did not put him in there.
No. It makes me wonder. And again, we've been a little tinfoil hatty today. But again, people are asking, like, do they just have zero faith in J.J. McCarthy?
O'Connell said after the game that he had faith in the veteran, and that is why he kept Wentz in.
And that's why
McCarthy.
Maybe they're just looking at McCarthy going, eh.
McCarthy, by the way, hasn't played a lot of football, and he has one quarter of ball that hasn't looked like an abortion. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, yeah. he was playing an abysmal game, and then they caught lightning in a bottle. Wasn't that against the Bears, if I'm not mistaken, where they had that comeback in the fourth quarter, and then he was mean-mugging everyone with his dumb face paint. And then the next week, it was like, oh, my God, what an absolute disaster. And now we're rolling out sorry-ass Carson Wentz with, like, one arm. He's got a chicken wing out there, and we're like, I got faith in the veteran. Well, and by the way, this week, you're on the road at the Lions. So,
uh-oh. I mean, well, you don't have a choice now.
Yeah, baptism by fire. Here we go, JJ.
McCarthy.
Yeah, they got the Ravens, Bears, and Packers, Seahawks.
So the Ravens are saying that Lamar will play on Thursday.
Yes.
So they got out of there with a win over the Bears.
Yeah.
Even without him.
That's a huge win, by the way.
Yeah, that was a big one. I was surprised. I mean, Lamar, they said, was trending towards playing.
Yes. Well, he was practicing. He was running some scout team stuff.
And then he did not play.
Yeah.
That was a little surprising.
Yeah. Well, think about this. Like, if you're the Ravens, you have weathered this storm, right?
Yeah, because Roquan Smith's back.
Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton's back.
And now you've got Lamar back. you're 2-5. You're two games back of Pittsburgh. Look, Pittsburgh ain't going anywhere. Cincinnati ain't going anywhere. The Ravens still are absolutely in this division. And so that's a huge win. There's a big difference between 2-5 and being 1-6. Also, Cincinnati, boy, you squandered an opportunity there. You were up big against the sorry-ass Jets, and you let that get away. You easily could have been 4-4. And again, you're trying to tread water and get to where hopefully Joe Burrow can come back and still be in that conversation. That's a huge loss for Cincinnati that fumbled that one away.
Did you have
and I would bet, if you, I don't know what the odds are, the Ravens are going to win that division. They are.
They're the odds on favorites still. Did you have Breece Hall throwing the game-winning touchdown for the Jets?
Win. Can't say that I did.
On your bingo card?
No. Well, and
that was the only good game of the weekend.
I know. It was a weird...
That was a bad weekend NFL.
It was a bad week.
Three games in the afternoon. The Jets were like the game to watch in the morning slate. Yeah, that sucked.
They were all blowouts.
I'm excited that Cincinnati is back to being Cincinnati, though, where instead of like Joe Burrow putting up 38 points and losing, now we should have Joe Flacco putting up 38 points and losing. So that was exciting. Yeah, you knew the Eagles were going to have something for the Giants after losing to them the week before. And by the way, shocking development, Jackson Dart is back to looking like a rookie quarterback. The one that just puzzled me that I can't quite process is the Atlanta Falcons.
They're not very good.
I don't know what to make of the Atlanta Falcons. You got thumped. You didn't just get beat. You got thumped by the Miami Dolphins. They are home to two of the more perplexing games all year, which was the 30-0 loss to Carolina and the 34-10 loss to the Carolina Panthers. It's also the team that whooped the ass of the Buffalo Bills. I just, for the life of me, cannot
figure
it out.
You said they lost to Carolina. So they lost to Miami.
Yeah, they lost to Miami. They lost to Miami this weekend.
You said Carolina.
They did. Earlier in the year, I said they're home.
You said Carolina twice.
Oh, sorry.
So the first one was Carolina.
Yes.
The second one was Miami.
Two of the more puzzling losses in the entire year.
Blown out.
Are being blown out by the Dolphins and blown out by the Panthers, and then you easily handling
the Bills.
The Bills. It's just.
Well, they remember that stat we talked about last week? Third lowest touchdown scored in the league behind the Titans and Raiders last week.
Yeah.
Not the Saints, not the Texans, not the Dolphins. It was the Falcons.
Yeah. And you went to...
So they're just not very good.
And you went to the Wiley vet and Kirk Cousins because Penix was hurt, so you thought Cousins could, like, you know... You didn't expect Cousins to come in and look that bad, but he looked terrible. To the Dolphins, of all teams.
Yeah, but the Dolphins are, you know, it's like... Again, the NFL, you get these desperate teams like the Jets won. The Dolphins had to have. I mean, the Dolphins had one win.
Yep.
It was a big game for them.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Atlanta, I don't know. It's just
there just wasn't any good games.
So league, when you're not elite and not even good, maybe you're just an average team. Things like that happen to you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like that's the NFL.
Yep.
Cincinnati's not great. Therefore, that's how you lose to the Jets at home.
Yep.
Atlanta's not great. That's how you lose to Miami at home.
Packers finally put it together and looked the part.
They look great.
You know,
in the second half.
Yeah. So I mean, that should be a 6-1 team. Instead, they're 5-1-1, and that was nice to see Green Bay get back to its ways. The Colts just continue to cruise. You're right. There was not.
It sucked.
There just wasn't anything really to get excited about.
Denver, Dallas, and that was a blowout.
Yeah.
Best moment of the weekend for me was seeing Aaron Rodgers and the Jordan Love failed jersey swap at the end.
Yeah.
Love trying to ask him. And I don't know what Rodgers said, but it was a version of no.
Well, they said they were going to do it later.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Was what they said.
On Jordan Love's face didn't look like that, but sure.
Rodgers, how bad were those Steelers jerseys?
Oh, these were horrible.
Oh, my God.
Someone, who was it? One of the Pittsburgh greats was killing them online. I forget. One of the Steeler grades, might have been like Roethlisberger or something, was those things were just awful.
And then the tan pants with them?
Yeah, I don't know.
The helmets were all right.
It looked like they were wearing Spanx.
God, they did them like, 10 or 15 years ago, and they got just as much crap. I am shocked that they pulled them out again.
Yeah, it's. I do like when the Packers going with the whites, the Stormtrooper look. That's all right. I kind of miss the yellow helmet, but it looks all right when they do the Stormtrooper style.
All right, we have arrests, and let's talk about vending machines.
Okay.
Coming up in the club here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.